A very good morning to you. I'm Howard Feldman. This is the Sunday Synthesis Podcast with me, Howard Feldman, and of course, Dr. Anton Meiberg. It's the 9th of January, 2022, and it's our first podcast of the year, which is always a good time to take stock and to find out how things are kicking off. Let's start with a bit of small talk. Dr. Anton Meiberg, welcome back. How was your holiday? Did you have a holiday?
Good morning, and yes, thanks very much. Had a great holiday, great break, nice time to actually feel a bit of the sun on me and get some vitamin C. Very different holiday to last year. It was actually a proper holiday with none of those ridiculous restrictions put down by the government, and we actually were able to breathe a bit and do some quality control.
All right, so that's really the first question I wanted to ask, is just to compare last year December with this past December. How did it feel in terms of difference in with regard to COVID, obviously?
I think last year December was tough, and this year December was manageable in many ways. Last year December, we didn't have vaccines. People were getting sick. People were in hospital. There was lots of bad decisions made by government, some good decisions, but majority bad. People were very stressed. People didn't know how to handle the situation. Whereas this year, people were able to actually have a holiday, go out and be much freer, knowing that they're vaccinated and that the Omicron is much less virulent, even though it's more transmissible, but much less virulent on our bodies.
All right. So we're going to be talking a lot about that because we do need to get as much information on that as possible. So you came back to the hospital. How does that look? What's happening at the hospital?
So I think let's give the global numbers first and then we'll go into that. So there are currently 306,091,815 cases worldwide, with 5.5 million deaths and 259 million cases resolved. The United States has 60 million cases with 859,000 deaths. India, 35 million cases with 483,000 deaths. And the United Kingdom has 14 million cases with 150,000 new cases in the last 24 hours and 150,000 deaths. South Africa, 3,521,572 cases with 92,371 deaths and 7,759 new cases in the last 24 hours, a 19% test positivity rate, which is going down. There are currently 2,907 cases in hospital in Gauteng, with 276 in ICU and 115 ventilated. And we've definitely passed the worst of the fourth wave. It peaked about 2 weeks ago. Hospitalizations are decreasing, and it took about half the amount of time to reach that peak, knowing that the Omicron actually started on the 24th of November, and we're now going down and seeing the tail end of it.
Was that expected? Because it rose so quickly that it would come down as quick?
Look, no one expected it because, you know, if we look at the previous three waves, it took a lot longer time for it to peak and a lot longer time for a peak to come downwards. So this has been a much quicker decrease in the peak and a much quicker sort of evolution of the whole wave. We assuming that the whole sort of fourth wave will be over within the next 2 weeks, likely 10 to 14 days. That's hoping that it follows the rules and follows the trajectory that it's taking at the moment.
Right. And how was the fourth wave for us?
Look, I mean, it's just non-comparable to the other waves. I mean, it's definitely, we've definitely seen a larger amount of people being infected in a shorter amount of time, The number of hospitalizations, the numbers of deaths, the numbers of severe cases have been dramatically lower than the other waves. The amount of people needing oxygen, the amount of people needing aftercare being completely and much less than the other waves. So it's been a particularly, in inverted commas, better wave than the other waves. That being said, we still can't take away that people have been getting sick, more so the unvaccinated, and there are always the long-term consequences of giving COVID, even if you haven't landed up in hospital.
Okay, so let's just talk about that. What are you seeing in the hospital? What did you see when you came back?
Look, right now, the comparison is unparalleled. I mean, last year, this time when I got back, we came back with just, we didn't have a chance to even breathe. We just hit the road running, and the numbers were dramatically high. People were on ventilators, people were dying. Whereas we came back now, we've now got five patients in our hospital, of which three are unvaccinated, two are vaccinated. The two that are vaccinated came in for other issues, not for actual COVID, and were found to be COVID positive. And the three unvaccinated are sick, not as sick, obviously, as with the Delta variant. One of them is actually an ICU patient at the moment, but still not on ventilation, but nevertheless still very sick.
What are there different symptoms between Omicron and Delta?
So I think the symptoms are less than the Delta. You know, Delta still follow the ancestral sort of COVID type picture, the SARS-CoV-2, the sore throat and the running nose. Yeah, people get a cough, people get a bit of a sore glands or a bit of a headache for one day and they feel better by the next day. So the symptoms are very much the same, but the loss of taste, the loss of smell isn't as predominant as it was with the other variants.
I read somewhere somebody said that you should make a date with Omicron, that it's probably at the end of the day a good thing that this sweeps through and we all get it. Would you agree with that?
No. So I think it goes back to the beginning waves when people were having COVID parties to try and get COVID. It's all good.
That's a comorbidity. Stupidity.
Yeah. Stupidity. Yeah. It's all good and well to say that. But what people don't realize is that unlike flu, unlike influenza, COVID is a multi-system disease. So it doesn't only just cause mild illness, or doesn't only just cause lung illness. It has long-term sequelae, long-term consequences that affect you down the line. And people who have had COVID now, even Omicron, are noticing down the line that when they're better, 2 or 3 months later, all of a sudden, or like now 8-9 weeks later, they start to get palpitations, they start to get chest pain, they start to get all these other consequences of this multi-system disease. So is it a good idea to have a COVID party? No, it's definitely not a good idea. Would it be nice to have had asymptomatic COVID and not have any consequences? Yes, it would be wonderful. But we can't decide, or we can't say or predict who's going to get the long-term consequences from Omicron, or where we're going from that point.
And I would imagine that people are vulnerable as they would be anyway. So certainly if you're spreading it to somebody who's at risk, they could be in trouble.
Yeah, despite vaccinations. and that was exactly, hello, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for that one. Yes, one. I think we've got to stop there for a bit, Marco. Penelope.
Penelope,
I just don't want to stop the recording.
She was sniffing.
You got nervous.
So, right. Yeah, you know, I think vulnerable people are still going to be vulnerable despite having vaccinations. Remember, we've only had 2 vaccinations in this country. Some people are starting their 3rd vaccination, which is definitively an important thing to do. So we're not yet fully covered. And even as I say, if you've had your 3rd vaccination, you still can get COVID, but it's far more protective. So we want you to have our 3rd vaccination. And even so, I mean, you know, many countries like Israel or Chile are starting their 4th vaccinations or their boosters. Their 2nd booster. You know, the studies have shown from Israel that it gives a 5 to 10 times increase in antibody production. Whether or not it's needed now, it's still too early to say. Is it a good thing for people over the age of 60 with comorbidities? Definitely.
Right. Okay. So we've got a lot of questions that came in around booster shots. We've got a lot of questions around the isolation and quarantine, because it has become just a little bit confusing. Before we do that, you mentioned Israel now. They have gone in one direction completely, whereas South Africa seems to have gone in another. We are a little bit more relaxed here. We're not as maybe hysterical as we were, and it seems to be serving us. What's happening in Israel? Or are you comfortable with the direction that South Africa's going?
I think let's talk about what's happening in South Africa before we go to Israel, okay?
Okay.
So at the end of December, the curfew was scrapped, and contact tracing was scrapped, and quarantines were eased, and that's subsequently been reversed by the government. I think the fact was that it was done too quickly, and the stakeholders and the people who needed to discuss these things to see whether or not it was the right decision hadn't been engaged. This is still being engaged, and I still believe that they are going to cut down the quarantine and the isolation periods in the next few weeks. What it does show is a very pragmatic approach to to the treatment and balance of the actual treatment of COVID, because there are direct and indirect detrimental effects from COVID and from SARS-CoV-2. So the reason why the South African government did this is because they believe that over 70% of people have been infected some way during the first three waves, either through natural infection, and over and above that, we've now got vaccination, which is covering people. This is, though, at the cost of an excess mortality rate of about 268,000 people. So although we say that the death rate is 92,000, they've guesstimated that the excess mortality rate is about 268,000 people. And that's for people that haven't been tested. That's for people who've died at home, et cetera, et cetera. We still believe that our death rate numbers are actually much higher than have been reported, but these cases haven't been proven to be actually COVID positive. We know that the Omicron variant causes less lung infection, but is a far more transmissible, but far less virulent infection than any of the Delta infections have been. So due to the fact that about only 10% of the infections are picked up in people, only 10% of people are testing, it makes sense to say that asymptomatic people are around us the whole time and are transmitting the virus. And that was the brainwave, or that was the actual thought process about decreasing the quarantine or getting rid of the quarantine and actually decreasing the isolation period, which makes perfect sense. You now go to a country like Israel, which is an opposite effect. Remember, they're in the Northern Hemisphere. They're in winter now. So a lot of people group together inside. They're coughing on each other. They make each other sick. Yes, they've had their boosters, and yes, they're starting to get their fourth vaccines now, etc. That will help them against severe cases. I mean, there's a very small amount. There's about 200 severe cases in Israel, in the whole country, which is a very small amount of people. Yeah, it's minuscule, you know. And yes, the Israelis are going full tilt with this, and they really are a first world country. I mean, you can get a message from your medical coverage that you're due for your fourth booster tomorrow and it'll be done within a day. So they definitely streaks ahead of the rest of the world. And it's definitely a pattern that we need to follow in this country. But that I do believe in South Africa now, yes, in South Africa now, we are doing things correctly and we are very moderate and very balanced.
What do you, with all of that, people, a lot of people have said, what do you recommend in terms of isolation and quarantine? Can you just take us through it? Let's assume that you are living with somebody who is now COVID positive. Do you isolate or don't you isolate?
So right now you do, because the rules haven't changed.
Because that's what the law says, right?
It's still mandatory for the 10 days, regardless. You know, we can't say anything different until the rules change. So whether it's quarantine, whether it's isolation, whether it's contact tracing, that's all the same. It's still your 10-day period. We must remember something, that what we've seen with Omicron is that the transmission occurs within about 1 to 2 days prior to symptoms showing and lasts for about 2 to 3 days after. So therefore, it is going to make perfect sense when they decrease the quarantine and they decrease the isolation period. They're looking at decreasing it to 5 to 7 days. To me, 7 days is far better. 5 days is a bit short. I would be far more comfortable with 7 days. But you know, if you look at what the CDC have done in the United States, they're saying that the isolation period is going to be down to 5 days. But if you have symptoms, you'll wear a mask afterwards for another 5 to 10 days. I mean, that doesn't make complete sense because we should be wearing masks anyway still. Masks are still mandatory, and masks are the most effective way, wearing masks properly, are the most effective way to prevent the transmission of this virus. And we've seen we've seen people who wear their masks are doing it properly, don't transmit the virus. Protected.
So what you're saying is as follows, is right now the law is, if you come into contact with somebody, a close contact who is COVID positive, you're required to isolate for 10 days. That's what the law is. You would be comfortable if they changed the law to 7 days.
So remember, it's not a law, it's a guideline. Okay, it's a guideline from NRCD. Okay. It's a guideline. You know, the law is you have to wear a mask. The guidelines are as follows: to protect your fellow human being and protect your community members.
So if it's just a guideline, would you be happy to say that your guideline would be 7 days?
Not yet, until they change the guidelines. You know, you've got to, it's all very nice and well, but you've got to get the majority of stakeholders, all the CLEV academics
involved. All be on the same page.
And right. On the same page, 100%.
But, I mean, I'm pushing you on it just because I'm trying to understand where you would be comfortable, because then what happens is tomorrow they change the law and then everybody says to us, but what is Anton Marburg comfortable with? You would be comfortable if they changed it to 7 days.
I'd be comfortable with 7 days. And I'd be okay with 5 days, but I'd be far more comfortable with the 7 days.
Got it. Got it. That makes sense. Let's just talk about a number of other questions. We've seen this, a lot of talk about this. Is it IHU variant? Is that a concern?
Yeah. So this IHU or IHU, however you want to pronounce it, was found by academics at the Institute IHU Mediterranean Infection in France. It's called the B1640.2 variant. Of importance, it's not a variant of concern and it's not a variant of interest. So it's been found in France. They thought it came from Cameroon. There's no evidence that it's more transmissible or more dangerous. They're watching it, but so far, there's nothing much has come of it.
Okay, so let's just shelve that in the we'll worry about it.
So it's almost time. Like the Mu variant, which was sort of all talk and not much and about went. It. But as I say, they're going to watch it and we'll see how it goes. And it's not on the list of variants of concern or interest.
Okay, and then in Israel, we've heard talk about this Fluorona. What on earth is Fluorona? Because it makes me hysterical.
So it's not only in Israel, it's also in America, it's also in other countries. Okay. It's basically a combination of seasonal flu plus SARS-CoV-2 at the same time. Majority of cases they're found in are the unvaccinated, but it just proves a point. You have to get your flu vaccines as well as your SARS-CoV-2 vaccines.
I don't know why you've never told us this.
I should have told that. I'm quite pro-vaccination, and I think that you should get a flu vaccine at the end of March, beginning of April. Definitely the way to go. Definitely to be vaccinated. It's going to cause a lot of trouble, this Fluorona, because we're not going to be able to understand whether it's you've got or whether you've got a sort of SARS-CoV-2 infection. The only way to understand it will be to be testing. If more expenses incurred, you'll have to do multiple tests for SARS-CoV-2, for respiratory viruses, and you could be sick from both and could be relatively unwell. And the key to this all is vaccination.
Right. So is it better to have COVID or flu? And is this COVID like a flu at the moment?
So yeah, that's a great question. And I think that people are under the misconception that COVID is better than flu. And it's actually not. The number of deaths and the number of people affected from COVID is far higher from flu at the moment. Mm-hmm. There aren't the long-term consequences from flu that you get with COVID. It's a multi-system disease. It causes far more consequences down the line, which the flu doesn't. It will, however, we believe, become an endemic disease. In other words, it will be a yearly thing, and we will have yearly vaccinations for it. And I think what we're seeing now is definitely a decrease in the affectation of people due to the fact, as once we said, that people have got antibodies, people have previous infections, people are vaccinated. So I think that it's far better to have flu than COVID, but I'd preferably have neither, because you can still die from influenza. There's no doubt about it, you know, especially if you are immune compromised and you still can go land up on a ventilator and you can still get very sick from it. So rather have neither and rather vaccinate.
The other question that we've got quite a bit of, and then I think that obviously talks to the number of people that have suffered from Omicron, is how long do they need to wait after they've had Omicron before they get their booster shot? And do you still even need the booster shot after you've had
Omicron? I would still advocate getting the booster shot. I would say wait a month afterwards.
You know? Okay, so still 30 days.
You don't have to rush to do it in 2 weeks after it, but I would wait a month, but I would still have the booster shot.
And if you don't know if you've had it, because there's this whole thing, I wanted to ask you about it. It's somebody told me it's called the two T's, that you don't test and you don't tell with Omicron. In other words, if you've got a little bit of symptoms, you just don't mention it, don't test, move on. And you know, obviously don't behave irresponsibly, but don't make a thing. Is that poor behavior? And then what do you do in terms of vaccines?
It definitely is poor behavior, but if we're going to change the rules down the line and say that asymptomatic people don't have to isolate or don't have to quarantine unless they start becoming symptomatic, yet they have to wear their mask, then it's not poor behavior. But
right. I'm with you.
You know, once you've taken a genie out of a bottle, you can't really put that genie back in a bottle. So once you've brought out these new rules and you try to take them away, it's very hard to differentiate what we should be doing down the line. With regards to asymptomatic people, having not known they've had it, you know, there's sort of no question here because they wouldn't have known they had it, so they're going to vaccinate or boost it anyway. If you've had very mild disease or no symptoms at all, it's not going to be a major impact on your immune system if you do get vaccinated.
Right, so it shouldn't be a problem. So it shouldn't be a problem either way. And then I think you answered this question before. Are the numbers of deaths rising in South Africa? Or is it just a delayed impact of the increase of cases a few weeks ago? Was that the unaccounted deaths?
So that's unaccounted deaths, but I think you've got to see that the mortality rate is much lower during this fourth wave than it's been during the third wave. And I mean, we were seeing this, you know, last year in January, and I'll go back, we were seeing 5 deaths a day minimum in a hospital from COVID for people who are on ventilators. Now we haven't seen any, thank God, if any, we've seen minimal, you know. So I think you got to really differentiate between the actual deaths and the excess mortality rate, which is what we say is people who haven't been accounted for as COVID positive, who died at home, who haven't been tested. You know, the majority of the southern suburbs are all available and able to go get tested. But if you go to the rural areas, it's very difficult to get a test and very expensive. So the majority of people are not testing and not able to show if they've actually had COVID or not.
Are you fairly positive that Omicron might herald the end of the pandemic?
I think that's a difficult question because, you know, assuming if we follow the trajectories in South Africa, that there will be a fifth wave, albeit will probably be a very light wave, hopefully. And if that does happen, it'll probably be around May. There's normally about like a 3-month lag between waves and that type of thing. That being said, unless there's a new variant like an Omicron that comes around and sort of jumps the queue.
Right, right.
Ideally, and on paper, we should be going into an endemic type of situation. But the one thing, if we've learned one thing from this virus, is we know bugger all about it. And we can't predict whether or not we're going from a pandemic to an endemic thing. I mean, if you look around the rest of the world, it's havoc there. You know, and also, once again, majority of people are unvaccinated.
Sorry, and on this question, when is it going to be possible to cough again and not feel plague?
I think that you should isolate. I'm just saying.
T. Don't test.
G and T is all I can say. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So.
I think, you know, we're getting there. You know, we're in summer now. We're outside. We're outdoors. It's much easier to say one little cough isn't something, but that's the whole point of wearing masks.
Right. Okay?
You've got to wear your mask. You've got to, you know, look after yourselves and look after people. And if you are outside and you're not wearing a mask and you're socially distanced, it's far better. You know, so there's definitely a balance, and we're definitely in a far better place than we've been any time over the last 2 years. I mean, you know, we're on a good wicket at the moment, you know.
So do you think that 2022 is the year that the pandemic ends? Should it be? I mean, not given unforeseen circumstances.
Not given unforeseen circumstances, please God, this will be the year when we can end our pandemic. You know, I really hope so, because you know, as I say, unless we get hit blindsided by another variant that's completely different to a, you know, we should be able to hopefully by sometime during this year actually call it quits. I think your dog's a ventriloquist.
It's a ventriloquist. I'm just thinking this is very clever.
Yeah.
For 10 weeks old. Okay. Yeah. So there's got to be good news. I mean, there's a lot of good news, isn't there?
There is good news. Okay. I mean, there's actually a lot of good news. So first of all, we've managed to have summer holidays without cancellation of beaches. The kids are going back to school on sometime this week, which is a major thing. And they're not going onto Zoom. They're actually going back to school. And that also says what a better place we're in and how much the vaccinations have helped and contributed to us going forward and which position we're in now. And then I have to give a shout out to Ingrid. for buying us coffee the other day, very sneakily, without us knowing,
going to pay for
our coffee. So thank you, Ingrid. We really got to thank you. That was really special.
Just for a bit of context before Dr. Mambo continues, is we were sitting and planning this COVID podcast last week at a coffee shop, and somebody said, hold on, are you the guys that do the podcast? And we said, yes, we are. She was very excited that it's happening on Sunday. And then when I went inside to pay, it had already been taken care of. We think her name is Ingrid. If not, you'll know exactly who we're talking about.
And then, of course, come on, you Reds. Let's get a clean sheet today. Despite the fact that a large amount of our team are down with COVID, they obviously don't watch our podcast. We still can hope that we can get a great result today and move forward. And then I've got two quotes for today. So the first one, 2022 feels like that girlfriend we're about to take back for the third time because she says she's changed. And the second quote is, don't wait until the conditions are perfect to begin. Beginning makes the conditions perfect. Good luck for the new year. Be safe, keep your masks on, and let's end this pandemic.
Absolutely. Wonderful. Thank you, Dr. Anton Myberg. I'm Howard Feldman. This has been the Sunday Synthesis Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. We'll be back with you in 2 weeks' time. Yes, in 2 weeks' time, we're going to be doing this every second week, hopefully as the pandemic retreats. I hope you have a fantastic day. Hope you have a fantastic week. And of course, as Dr. Anton Myberg said, all the best for 2022. God bless.